Well, this morning I am excited. As you know, we partner with many of the churches in our community. I am an executive member of the Dallas Ministerial Association. And it was in April, the Dallas Ministerial Association lunch was held at Salt Creek Baptist Church. And so I went out there to Salt Creek Baptist Church, and I met this awesome dude named Brandon Bell. And heard his story about him and his family who are going to be leaving here, hopefully in the fall, to go over to France to be a missionary to refugees, Muslim refugees. And so he started telling me his story, telling me his vision and his heart. And I said, man, I need to have you come to our church. I need to have you come speak and share this with our church. And so I'm excited to hear what he has to say this morning, to hear just about this vision and this heart for him and his family, and just the fact that they are doing what we believe. Listening and obeying the Lord as they've heard the call of the Lord and are obeying Him. And so will you welcome Brandon Bell as he comes to share with us this morning from Salt Creek Baptist Church.
Thanks, Darren. How's that? Can you guys hear me okay in the back? All right, perfect. My name's Brandon Bell. I go to Salt Creek Baptist, live here in Dallas. My wife, Angie, is back there. Wave your hand, Angie, so everyone can see. We've got four kids. They're down doing kid stuff downstairs. Abigail, Adley, Remington, and Mason. Ages 9 to 2. So we're with the organization called Pioneers. It's a church planting organization out of Orlando, Florida. We've been with them since 2016. So Darren invited us, was kind enough to do that. I was super excited. You guys probably don't realize this, but actually your church has impacted us already in our ministry and what our family is trying to do. We're good friends with Arnie and Lynn Swan, and they've really been mentoring us from before they left to after they left, come home on visit, and they would try to meet with us, pray with us, and really seek out where the Lord was directing us. And so it's just, you already have made an impact in our lives and the direction our family's taking. We appreciate that so much. Just goes to show the power of prayer. Just so we know kind of what's going on, you guys make sure you watch the news a little bit. Has anyone heard of a recent refugee crisis? Anyone? There's not very many hands coming up. I'm sure you've at least heard a little bit about that. To get you guys involved, what are some of the reasons you've heard that this is going on? Just, you know, throw out a word or something. Civil war, yeah. Anything? What? Oh, genocide, yes. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. War, famine, the economic struggles the countries are coming out of. Those are all very true. Those are some of the things that those people are wrestling with. And that's what the media is telling us. But as believers of Jesus, when we look at that situation, I hope we look a little deeper into it than just the surface level things that are happening. So when we look at it through this, the gospel lens, I hope, and this is what I see, I see God glorifying His name. As tragic as that stuff is, He's bringing the nations in the New Testament referred to as ethne, people, languages, tribes, nations, all peoples. He's bringing them out of different areas and making it possible for people to make disciples that otherwise we may not have had the opportunity to share with. The odds of me with a young family being a missionary in Afghanistan are pretty small. And yet, during our survey trip in France, I was able to have two Bible studies with Afghan students in the city that we'll be serving in. So, that's what God has really burdened Angie's and my heart with. The trials that these people have faced, these families have faced, and then also the opportunity for the gospel, for the presentation of it. So we're super excited to share where God has been leading us in the last couple years. It's been about a 3.5-year journey. So for first slide, the Nantes Displaced People Team. It's the city of Nantes in France. I always say Nantes, France, and people get confused that we're not going to France. So in Nantes, it's to put it in perspective, it's kind of like Portland. It's even kind of quirky. It's the French version of Portland. Walking machine elephants, art everywhere. About 300,000. The Christian climate there is pretty weak. It's about one believer, one professing believer, and 400 people. About 20 churches for 300,000 people. 10% Muslim population. One of the largest mosques in Western France is in Nantes. And then we'll be joining a family there that's with Pioneers, the Kimmins family. They've been there for 6 years now. Lord willing, we'll be two more families we'll be joining in the fall, and then a single in the spring. So we may actually have a team, which is exciting for them because they've been working really hard there. And go ahead, hit the next slide. So as I said, the refugee crisis, refugee ministry is our main focus. Our mission statement for our team is to make disciples among Muslims and incorporating them into local churches. There's a lot of ways this can be done. There's people all over the world trying to minister to the needs that are there. And so I'm just going to briefly go over a couple of them. So there's three needs that we're really focusing on. First is the spiritual or the physical need. We'll be working with a nonprofit in France. It's the only one in that city that helps with anything asylum seeker, migrant, refugee related. All different terms, all the same people. Providing food, because many are homeless or living in squat houses. Helping with asylum paperwork as we gain French, a level of French. First, it'll be directing them to the right people, and then as we gain our French, it'll be helping with meeting with those people and helping with paperwork so that they can gain legal status there and actually have work. And through that, we really hope to meet people, have friends, have fellowship with them. The second need is the emotional need. They're in a new area. They've traveled thousands of miles, many of them, and the asylum process can take 2 to 3 years, and they can't work during that time except for some seasonal work, and so they're just sitting there waiting on to see if their papers get denied or accepted. And so we hope to build friendships out of that, listen to their stories, just be there to talk to them. A need that's in Nantes that we see is that there needs to be some sort of women's fellowship, somewhere safe for women to come together and talk to each other and have fellowship. There's a couple language classes, but as the men show up, the women kind of filter out. And so that's a huge need there. And with only one family, they're just not able to keep up with the need right now. Next slide, please. And then lastly is the spiritual need. People ultimately need Jesus, and that's where our hearts is at. Our goal is to present the gospel in a holistic way and make disciples. These pictures show in community is when we can present the gospel the best, I think, through relationship. And so sharing meals with people, that's Rob down low is our team leader, and then his wife Karen is up above. You can see the living conditions. Some squat houses aren't that bad. Other ones are a little rougher shape where they're fitting, 50 people in a old house or a abandoned building. And another ministry we do, slide please, is international student ministry through the University of Nantes. We do a French conversation class, same thing. People, they may not have the physical need that the refugees have, but they do have the emotional and spiritual need as well. And so we hope to spend time with them, and a lot of Bible studies have come out of that ministry. It's a simple diagram, but it really shows our focus. Whether it's refugees or international students, our goal is to make disciples, study the Word with people, spend time with them, and hopefully get to the point where we're raising them up in Christ. This is just a brief overview of our ministry. like I said, this has been a 3.5 year process, and I just did it in about 6 minutes. So we're going to be here after the service. We have a table set up where you can sign up for our newsletter and see how you can partner with our team. So we'd love to talk to you about it and get you involved in the work in France. So I've kind of told you what we've been, God's been doing in our life and how he's been directing us. And so today we're going to look at Acts 9, 1 through 19, and read about Paul and Ananias. So Acts 9, 1 through 19. Let's pray first before we read the word. Father God, just be with us today. Thank you so much that we can gather safely in this room and glorify your name and lift your name up together as a community. God, I pray for the message today that it's not my will and your words. Just help us receive it well and do what we can to allow you to work in us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." So there's a lot of things we can learn from this story. Today I'm going to focus on three characteristics of God that I think this story gives us. They should comfort us, give us encouragement to pursue his will for us, but also make us examine ourselves. So after each characteristic, after I talk about it, there'll be some questions that I want you to ask yourself and think about, spend time in prayer in. So the first is God seeks us. Yeah, thank you. So that picture, 3.5 years ago, we did a family mission trip to Mexico. I did not want to be a missionary before that trip. God started working on my heart during my during that trip and drastically changed the direction of our lives forever. And so as we read Acts 9, we get two examples of how God seeks us out. If we continue reading in Acts 9, after verse 31 about Peter and the visions he's received, we see just another example. So it's amazing that the encounters that Saul and Ananias had are the same God that blessed Abraham and spoke to Moses. And it's important to remember that today, that same God still speaks to us, each and every one of us in this room. I was out there setting up the table and I saw the banner, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that should be reassuring for us as we seek Him. It's easy to fall into the trap that God is so distant, that these things only happened back in the day. And we just know that isn't the case. It can feel distant at times, but He is there. And I think any one of us could have an experience like Saul did or Ananias did after church today. It's just as real now as it was then. Next slide, please. It should also encourage us to see where Saul and Ananias were at their life when the Lord spoke to them. They're in two totally different walks of life. Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute followers of the way, the early Christians. He didn't believe what Jesus told about himself. So definitely not someone looking to seek his direction. And yet Jesus came to Saul and was going to use him to reach the Gentiles. Meanwhile, on the other hand, we have Ananias, who is a follower of Jesus. And Acts 22:12 tells us that he was held in high regard among the local Jews. So at least in our eyes, he was doing the right things, and the Lord gave him a vision and spoke to him. When we look at their circumstances, we see that God will speak to anyone that He pleases. So no matter where we're at in life or what we're going through, God can speak to us. And so, next slide, please. And so we need to ask ourselves in our daily lives, do we hear God's voice right now? Do we hear Him calling to us? As I look at my life and I've talked to other people, sometimes I don't believe that we are worthy of hearing God's voice, that we haven't done enough, that why would He choose me to do X, Y, or Z, you name it. We never feel qualified. Which brings me to the next point. I don't think that God does qualify us. Perfect. So, background on this. Our first year in France will be a large focus on language. That's super important. There'll be plenty to do in English, but we also need the French language to really speak into the hearts of a lot of the people we'll be ministering to. So this is me during our survey trip. I don't know French, but I was participating with international students. We were trying to spell French words with the French alphabet, and it was quite a struggle for all of us to do that. And so what I mean by God doesn't disqualify us, I mean that there's so many times the people who seem the least qualified or reasonable for the job are the ones that God chooses to do some of the greatest things. Acts 9, Saul, he was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. So, not someone who's seeking His direction. If you took a group of believers in Jerusalem, or Damascus at that time, said, okay, here's what we got to do. We got to pick a person who's going to go to the Gentiles with the gospel. Someone who's so full of the Spirit will risk everything to proclaim God's word and Jesus' name. Who should it be? Guaranteed not one of them would have said, hey, let's pick Saul, that guy who's persecuting us, killing Christians, stoning them. Yeah, they would not have picked him. And yet, that's what God did. As unsuited to the task as Saul was, Jesus spoke to him and used him to reach so many people with the gospel and ended up writing majority of the New Testament. So just because you may feel unqualified, but that doesn't mean that God won't speak to you, and that doesn't mean He won't use you. But it's not because you actually are qualified, you know? Sorry to say that. But it's because of God's grace and the Holy Spirit working in you that you can and will do great things. Next slide, please. Ephesians 2, Paul tells the Ephesian church, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ for Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Sometimes I think we're writing ourselves off, not even trying because we don't have the works to back it up. Please ask yourself, am I listening for God's voice? Have you written yourself off? Next slide, please. Are you trying to hear the will of God? Darren mentioned it earlier. Sometimes we're so busy, we don't like silence, we don't like quiet. Are we taking that time, that quiet time, to listen? So our last characteristic of God that I'm going to go over is inconvenient. We don't like admitting it because when we do, it feels like we're disobeying Him. Next slide, please. And that's that God calls us to uncomfortable things. This was a picture during our survey trip in November, visiting, seeing where God would have us serve. If you're from Dallas, just looking at that picture should probably make you uncomfortable. That's a city below us that we're looking out for little kids. So Paul, as we read the Bible, there's so many examples of this. Paul is a great example. When we read Paul's story, after he was converted, he immediately starts proclaiming God's word. He doesn't just go, okay, I'm saved now, and hang out in that. He preaches the word and immediately had his life sought after. And that never really changed. Paul's whole life was suffering for the gospel. We have the whole New Testament to look and realize it was not an easy trip. And the New Testament's full of those stories for other people. But when we look at Acts 9, 1 through 19, Saul, later to be named Paul, that is definitely uncomfortable. But something that jumps out to me is Ananias. Small part in the story, doesn't have a lot of verses about it, but a pretty intricate part of this process in the new church. So what he is called out to do is what really jumps out to me. Could you imagine getting the vision that Ananias did? He was called at that moment to deliver a message to someone who could throw him in jail or have him killed. The same guy that nodded in agreement when Stephen was stoned. Next slide, please. Oh, yeah, perfect. And it's important to note, he got a vision. God gave him direction, but it wasn't without questioning or doubt. And could you blame him? So Acts 9, 13, 15, Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel.'" So Ananias states his case before the Lord, but God didn't change what he wanted. It doesn't go into a lot of detail reading about Ananias, but when I look at it, I think he was obedient right away. Looking at the text, it says, "So he departed." If you think to yourself, if you got a vision or heard a voice of God tell you what he told Ananias, how many of you would have left right away? How many would have kind of hung out for a little bit and go, "Wow, that was huge. Let's pray about it and see if God confirms that." Because there's some stuff that can happen if I follow this. It would have been so easy, but he doesn't. Says he went. And that is crazy. So think back in your life. Some of our lives have been longer than others here. Think about a time that you felt God called you to something. Think about a time you felt so convicted that you needed to do something. So with those in mind, now think, how did you respond to that conviction, to that calling? Did you obey it? Did you do it? I know as I look back on my life, I can think of some times where I felt very convicted and felt that God's probably calling me to do something, and yet I just kind of sat on it and didn't respond. Most of the time we lean too much on our own plan and not on God's plan. This is something I struggle with. We don't try and focus on what God's plan is for us or what His will is. Our plan is comfortable, typically as a safety net of some sort. If plan A is good, let's have a B, C, and possibly a D as well. Next slide, please. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we ready to listen to God's voice? Because when you ask, God, what do you want me to do? He might actually respond. So we got to be ready to pursue what He's leading us to. So in this story, we have two totally different people, different circumstances, and yet the response was the same, though. Ananias obeyed and went to Saul, and then Saul preached the name to the Gentiles, kings and sons of Israel, it says. Both followed God despite the consequences, and glorious things happened. Visions and God's calling is so amazing. But if we don't obey, are we glorifying God in our life? As we stand right now, as we think about our life right now, are we currently following God? Are we currently glorifying God in what we do? So if you're like me, you think, yes, I know God can give visions and speak to me, but it hasn't been super clear. He hasn't really done that. I'm not sure my big calling, we always think of it as one big calling. I don't know what that one thing is. It can be a struggle trying to discern God's will. We all want that vision or that burning bush, you know, to make it clear for us. Like, okay, that is it, guaranteed, because bushes just don't burn by themselves. Sometimes we forget, though, that God calls us daily. There are daily callings in our life, and He wants us to follow Him and obey Him daily and look to Him for everything. So to close, I want to leave you with two points to think about. First point is that we need to seek God. We need to seek God in our daily lives. We may not get that big calling to move overseas. I do that because being called to be a good parent is a huge calling. I have four kids. That is not an easy task. We just think of the things that make us uncomfortable and make us sell the stuff we love as big things. And so He calls us daily to glorify His name. This could be being a better parent or spouse, spending more time in the Word, helping a neighbor, or getting involved in your local community. And we need to take time in prayer, and also importantly, as Darren said, quiet time, to see where Jesus is convicting us to improve our walk with Him and also to glorify His name. If we learn to listen daily, we'll be much better prepared and more in tune with God when He asks us those big, uncomfortable things, those big callings. The last point. It will not be easy. This isn't so much a discouragement as it is a call to reality. In Ephesians 6:12, Paul says, this is talking about the armor of God. Paul says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." In our experience, a spiritual warfare can intensify as you try to pursue God's will for you. Our adversary, who Peter refers to as a prowling, roaring lion, wants us to be comfortable and stay right where we're at. This really hit home as I finished up my outline, make sure everything was the way I wanted it for today. This was last night. I got an email from some friends of ours, and they're with Pioneers, same process as we are. They're trying to go on their survey trip. Excited to read their email, opened it up, and long story short, they're not going now. They're having marriage troubles and feel that they need to stay home and work on their marriage, because obviously that's super important. And the last couple months for us, I can attest to that. What seemed like a grand adventure at first, you kind of start to realize that this is more like a battle, like a war. There's spiritual warfare going on. The devil doesn't want us to pursue God. He doesn't want us to glorify his name to the nations. And so we have to surround ourselves with people who will pray for you and bring everything before the Lord. Verse 18 further down, Paul says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." This is why, like for us, when we go talk to people, we ask people to please pray for us. Sign up for a newsletter. That way we can let you know what our needs are. As we've stepped out in faith, we've noticed an increase in the spiritual warfare. Marriages are challenged. Family are challenges. You come up with opposition that you would not have expected, and it's kind of a wake-up call. It's not just some grand adventure. It's hard. And so we really appreciate any prayer that people give us. When we read Acts and Romans and all the other books, we see Paul's life was full of struggles. So were the other apostles. But Jesus is so worth it. He is worth any trial we may face. And I hope you guys know that in your hearts. And surround yourself as a community and pray for each other to build each other up to glorify our God. So let's pray. Father God, we want your will to be done in our lives. Give us ears to hear your voice. Help us get out of our comfort zones. God, push us further than we thought possible. And this week, Lord, I pray that we can glorify your name in our daily lives, not just looking for that big calling, but daily looking for your calling and your voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Will you give Brandon a hand this morning?
Yeah. Thank you, Darren. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, as he shared this morning, just three thoughts came to my mind in thinking about this. You had two people there. You had Paul and Ananias. And my first thought was, what does it take to get our attention? You know, for Paul, he had to be knocked to the ground, blinded, right? For Ananias, he just heard his name. And what does it take to get our attention? Are we preparing ourselves? Are we listening? Are we open to hear the Lord and what he has for our life? Secondly, was kind of something I shared last week. Two different guys, Paul and Ananias, but Paul said, "Who are you?" And Ananias responded, "Yes, Lord." And when we know God, we know his voice, right? We hear his voice. When we're seeking him, we know when the Lord speaks to us. And we don't respond, "Who are you?" I mean, sometimes we do because we hear things we don't want to do, right? We're like, "Wait, who are you? That must be the bad pizza or something," right? No, you're not asking me to do that, God, right? Because like we said, it's challenging. But then the third thing that the Lord just put in my heart too is that then when we hear, it's that reminder that we don't just listen, you know, because a lot of us, we can listen to things. Oh, yeah, okay. It's not just listening, it's then obeying. It's walking out the things that God has told us to do, and that's the key. Because many of us can hear the Lord, right? Oh, yeah, okay, cool, God, yeah, no, I'm going to go do something else. Ah, that's too hard, that's too difficult, I'm not going to do that. But it's listening to the Lord and walking in obedience to him. And so great. We're excited for you guys. We're excited for you heading off. And we're going to do this morning. We don't normally do this, but we're going to do a special offering here at the end. for the Bell family, and we want to lift them up. And we want you to pray. We're going to be praying as a church. Our council knows this, that I've talked about that he's going to come and speak, and we're praying about adopting them as missionaries. And so we're seeking the Lord in that, and we want to follow the Lord in that. And maybe you should be praying. Is God calling you in that way to help? You know, God calls us in many different ways to serve and to give, and maybe today God is calling you to help support the Bell family. And if that's the case, you can do that through our church, or there are other ways you can do that. Just contact us. But we're looking forward to see what God is going to do in and through this family. Amen.